can't hear you at all. Linda needs to go up.
Welcome to join with us for all of that, and this day. And Lord, we thank you for each and every person that's in this room today. Lord, we thank you for our church family. And Lord, we pray that as we gather around your table, we would indeed be brothers and sisters together. And Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and your love and your constancy. And Lord, that we can only hope to reflect those things as we serve you, as those who are single, those who are married, those who have different callings. Father, we thank you that you bless us, and Lord, you enable us to minister to one another. So Father, be in this place. We want to glorify your name and give you for all the praise and glory. Father, thank you. Amen. I ummed and ahed about lots of different Bible readings for this morning. There's quite a bit about husbands and wives and everything, but I went for something that was a bit more to everyone. They are familiar words, they're lovely words, so they come from 1 John 4, and really this is where it all stems from. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Great words to think about any relationship, not just marriage relationship. We love because God loved us. Amen. So, as we've got communion, I thought I would I'd go early on birthday box, so I hope that people who've had a birthday are here already, and they're not, and we don't chase them out. Has anyone had a birthday in the last couple of days, or got a birthday in the next couple of days? Any of the young people or children? Oh, Michelle has, but any littlies? No littlies coming down. If you see someone come in, they are welcome to come down to the birthday box later on if you know that they've had a birthday recently, but just thought I'd ask quite early on. And now we are going to praise God for that wonderful love that he gives us. And as he gives his love forever, we should give thanks to the Lord forever. So if you're able, please do stand and sing. The words will come up on the screen behind me, and we are going to give thanks to the Lord.
His love is we have got 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Good to sing his praises together this morning.
And then this song
really speaks into the communion table, how great the chasm that lay between us.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Please do take your seats as our deacons come and join me. Father, we thank you that you are our living hope through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you that we are people not without hope. Although the world is plagued with evil and there are many challenges day by day, we thank you that we are people of great hope and expectation because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross over 2,000 years ago. Through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection, we can boldly declare this morning that you are our living hope. And we want to thank you. We want to give your name all the glory and all the honor that's due to your name because you are our living hope. And I pray that for anyone here this morning that just feels a little bit down, feels as if they don't have any hope at the moment, I pray that you would draw ever so close now. And may your Holy Spirit just move in our hearts even now to reignite that living hope that we have through Jesus Christ. We give you the praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. I'm going to invite one of our deacons to come and pray God's blessing over the bread and the wine. Yes.
That you gave your son for us, that we might have life and life more abundant. And certainly, Father God, Lord, as we take part of his evidence, I ask all that you bless them and bless, Lord, that we receive, Lord, a joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, even when within us, so you can be praising God.
Amen. There is a popular saying that comes from our legal system that if you do the crime, you should do the time. How many of you have heard that before? If you got the courage to do the crime, then you've also got to have the courage to do the time. But when we think about salvation, we think about our own sins. David tells us in the Old Testament, he said, "Behold, I was born in sin. I was shaped, I was fashioned in sin and iniquity." And although the Bible lets us know, Paul says that the wages of our sin equals death. We deserved to die. We deserved to be crucified ourselves on the cross. But although the wages of sin is death, the rest of that verse goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So yes, we are guilty. All of us here are guilty because we were born in sin, as David says. But the good news is we did not have to do the time. If we trust in Jesus, then he wipes all of our sins away. Aren't you glad that he washed your sin away? So as we come now to partake of this sacred meal, just be mindful in your hearts that through Christ, we have a clean slate. Through Christ, we have been given a second chance. Through Christ, we can say that our sins are no more. Amen. On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around the table with his disciples, he took bread from the table. And after giving thanks, he said to them, "Take and eat, friends, for this is my body, which is broken and given for each of you. I want you to do this in remembrance of me." Amen. As you are now served what represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. And let me just say, this meal is freely available to all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. If you have not yet come to that decision to trust in Jesus for yourself, then we would lovingly encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by. It's not because we're better than you, but this meal really takes on significance when it's done with the meaning. Amen. Church, in like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup will now represent the new covenant that will be sealed in my blood. As often as you drink of it, I want you to do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat from the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and we proclaim, we testify of the Lord's death, his burial and his resurrection, until that wonderful promise that he's given to us, that one day the Lord Jesus, he's coming back for his church." Are you looking forward to the return of Jesus? He's coming back for his church, for his bride. Amen. As you are served now with what represents the blood of Jesus Christ, please do retain your cups, and then we will all drink together as a sign of our unity that is through the blood of Jesus. The old hymn writer puts it this way, just as I am, without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me. Let's drink together the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you again for the cost of our salvation. We're reminded afresh this morning that although salvation is a free gift, it's not cheap. Salvation is very costly because it gave your Son on the cross to suffer, to endure so much affliction so that we can say we are free and no more chains are holding us back. So we thank you so much. We can't say thank you enough. We pray that our lives will continue to reflect your love and your grace that you have so freely poured out to us. May we represent you day by day as children of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I hand back over to Bev and the worship team.
The children are going to meet us and go to their groups now. If you would, we make it a little bit easier for them, if you would mind standing and we'll sing that song again. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for the world.
We do thank you for your immense sacrifice and your amazing love that gives us living hope.
And Father, Lord, we do pray that that would be evident in our lives, Lord, that we would show your hope and your love to all we meet, to every single person. And Lord God, we do pray that you would give us boldness to speak of your love. Give us longevity and patience to repeat that love again and again, even to those who do not take it on the first offering. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation now and for those in our families and friends who have not yet accepted you. And Lord, we ask that you would bring their faces before us now, and Lord, that we would be bold and speak to them of your love. And Father, we pray now that you would bless us all through your word as Nathan brings it soon. And Lord, that you would bless the children who are in their different groups. Father, that this morning we would learn of you and they would learn of you too. And Father, we pray your blessing and your protection and your peace and your love over those who are unwell or who can't make the service. Lord, we ask that you would give them your peace and that they would know we pray for them and that we care for them. Lord, be with us in all that we do in your name. Amen. My voice is coming. We have got one more song before Nathan comes to speak to us. It might be unreachable, I'm afraid. This is indescribable, and it just really says that God has done everything, and the angels join with him and exclaim, "You are indescribable and all powerful." So let's sing this together.
Until
We serve an amazing God, don't we? He is good, and he is good all the time. Thank you so much, Bev, and the worship team, for leading us beautifully in worship this morning. And it's nearly 20 past, so I'm aware of time, so I'm going to do my best to expedite this message that the Lord has placed on my heart. Of course, we've now arrived at the conclusion of our God-centered relationship series. And just to re-jog your memory again, we have covered over the past several weeks, we've looked at God-centered singleness. Are you flying solo and thriving? We've looked at parenting, the relationship of parents. What happens when the men are nowhere to be found and the woman, and sometimes the man or the woman has to step into that gap. We looked at God-centered friendships last week. The importance of friendships from God's word. And we looked at Jonathan being a close friend to David. And this morning we are going to close out this series. Next week we'll be moving on to a new series. But this week we're going to conclude with the topic of marriage, God-centered marriage. And today I'm asking the question, are you the spouse God has called you to be? Are you the spouse God has called you to be? And even if you're not married, if you're desirous of marriage, or even if you're not desirous of marriage, I still hope you'll be able to get something from the message today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this service so far and this intimate time of worship and communion. And we pray now as we come to hear and feast on your holy word that you would minister to each and every one of us this morning, encourage, uplift, and yes, also challenge. And Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross as your servant, that your people would see and only hear from you, and be careful to give you all the glory that's due unto your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 18, verse number, do a favor, my wife just needs some assistance to get in if someone can just help my wife out there to help get the, thank you so much. Acts chapter 18, verse 23 to 26, and it reads like this. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. And meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus, Turkey, and he was a learned man and with a thorough knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. And he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. So Apollos had a good understanding of Jesus, but didn't have the complete understanding. He only knew at this time the baptism of John the Baptist. He didn't know the fullness of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. So look what happens. In verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, so he was teaching without the full understanding. But when Priscilla and Aquila, would you say those married couple with me? Priscilla and Aquila. When they heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. And then in Romans, jump to Romans chapter 16, we're going to see this married couple again. And Paul has this to say about them. In Romans chapter 16, verse 3 and 4, Paul says, I want you to greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but for all the churches of the Gentiles are also grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Amen. It's interesting when we think about our relationship to God. As human beings, we know that God, for those of you who trust in Jesus and we have a relationship with God, we know that God is our Father. We know that Jesus Christ is our Saviour. We know that the Holy Spirit is our Comforter and our Guide. We know, church, that through Jesus Christ, we have a place guaranteed in heaven, eternal life through him. We have this assurance also, when we read God's word, of peace that surpasses all human wisdom and understanding. We have this assurance through God's word of joy. We have also the assurance of unconditional love. God promises us as his children that he will never leave nor forsake us. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew chapter 28 that, lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. However, the one area that God has uniquely and intentionally delegated to someone else to fulfill is within the area and scope of an earthly marriage. It's interesting, church, that when Adam was created by God from the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the Bible says that man became a living soul, Adam would go on to share a very special bond and relationship with God. Adam had great fellowship with God in the garden. He could talk with God. He could feel and know the presence of God. So spiritually, Adam was fulfilled. Spiritually, Adam was satisfied. But God, when we read in Genesis, he had a concern for Adam. Yes, he was fulfilled spiritually. Yes, he could feel and sense the presence of Almighty God. Yes, he could know God as his Father. And he had a very special bond and relationship with him. But God had a concern for Adam. Although God could do all things for Adam, God could provide for Adam, he could bless Adam, he could heal Adam, he could protect Adam, he could sustain Adam. And yes, he even provided some animals as companions for Adam. But ultimately, God would go on to say about the man, it is not good for this man to be alone. Think about it. The same Adam who had a connection with God Almighty could feel and sense the presence of God in the garden. And yes, he had the animals with him. But God says it's not good for Adam to be alone. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a suitable helper for Adam. I am going to make a helpmate for him. So as a result, we know the story. Eve was created from the rib of man. And when Adam, it's interesting, when he was connected with his wife Eve, he started to prophesy. He said, she is bone of my bone and she is flesh of my flesh. The two would go on to become one flesh. And in other words, now God no longer would see them through the lenses of two distinct individuals. But now through their marriage union, God would see them as one flesh. That's why Jesus Christ, he put it this way. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And therefore, what God has joined, has put together, let no one separate. That was the first marriage. However, church, unfortunately, from the ideals of the very first marriage in the book of Genesis, unfortunately, for many marriages today, marriage looks a whole lot different. Unfortunately, in many cases in our world and society today, marriage That special divine bond where a man and a woman would be joined together and they would become one flesh. That wonderful divine union has become diluted in our society today. It's no longer viewed through the lens of divine covenant. But in many cases, church, marriage is viewed through the lens of an earthly contract. This new school version of marriage, if you will, in the 21st century, marriage has become analogous to a mobile phone contract. That when the perks of our contract with O2, if you will, when we no longer like the services of O2, we switch providers. And when EE is no longer cutting it for us, we give Vodafone a try. But when it comes to God, the spousal relationship that God had intended and designed from the beginning, of creation, was for a man and a woman to come together where the two become one. One flesh. One entity. And Jesus says, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Not put together just for a 24-month contract, but a lifelong covenant. And I think part of the problem today, church, and I'm no marriage expert, I'm still in single digits of marriage years. And there are many people here today, they're double digits and they're going on. We've got some people in our church who have been married 50 plus years. So I'm not the expert. There are many others who will be coming up here preaching this message today. But I think part of the problem today in our society is we view love, church, through the lens of feelings only. We love based upon feelings. We make connections based upon how we feel. And although it's good to have feelings for your mate, for your spouse, we need that. But if we only base a relationship and a marriage based upon feelings solely, and the challenge with that, church, is feelings can fluctuate. Feelings can change. What are feelings? Feelings are emotions. And emotions and feelings are subject to change. Let me encourage those of you here this morning who are planning to get married. I know there's some. And this is not to deter you in any way. But it's just to inform you. You may be head over heels right now with your feelings. But life has a way, church. Marriage has a way. Where you can go from head over heels, from heels over head. Feelings can change. And not only can feelings change, but looks can change. Have you ever seen someone back in your school days that you run into after maybe 20, 30 years? And 20, 30 years ago, they were just so popular. They were the looker, if you will. Everybody wanted their phone number. And you see them 20, 30 years ago and you think, wow. Life can be hard. Feelings, looks can change. So I want to encourage us. I'm not going to be able to conclude this all today, but when we get married, marriage is not always about feelings. But the best piece of advice that I received before I got married was simply this. Love is not based on feelings, but love is a decision. Love is a sacred decision. that a man decides to love his wife, and a wife decides to love her husband. It's much deeper than just feelings that can change with the wind. But this divine decision that a man and a woman makes, it's a deep covenant that says, I am going to love you through thick and thin. I am going to love you in the good times and even in the bad times. I am going to love you not just when it's sunny, but also when the storm comes. A fruitful marriage, church, it requires a love-based decision. I am going to ride with you for life. But not only does a marriage need to be based not just on feelings that can change, but it needs to be based on a deep, devoted decision of love. But it also needs ongoing maintenance. Say maintenance with me. Maintenance, maintenance. Can you imagine a 6-year-old who inherits a beautiful park? And the 6-year-old inherits a beautiful park that is in pristine condition. The lawn is just immaculate. The swings, everything is just beautiful. And the 6-year-old is so excited, goes to primary school and says, I've got a park. I own a park. It's beautiful. You can come whenever you like to my park. We can play all day after school. I've got a park and it all belongs to me. But a week later, 2 weeks later, that same 6-year-old returns back to the park, but the park is no longer in the same condition that he inherited it 2 weeks ago. Because that young 6-year-old would go on to find out that the park needs maintenance. If you want to keep the park in pristine condition, then you need someone to take care of the lawn. You need someone to go and wipe up all of the bird mess. And likewise, in our marriages, it requires ongoing maintenance. We can't just get married and then put our feet up and say, well, I'm married now. That's great. We will find out soon and very surely that we are on the way to a separation. Marriage requires ongoing maintenance. It requires ongoing communication, understanding each other, understanding each other's differences, understanding each other's views and opinions, journeying together through the difficulties of life. And what I love about Aquila and Priscilla in the Bible is the first time that we see them, we see them at a point in their lives where they were going through extreme persecution. They were a Jewish married couple and they used to live in Rome. And Claudius, the leader in Rome, he did not want any Jew to live in Rome. So he dispelled and kicked out all of the Jews from Rome. So Aquila and Priscilla, this married couple who lived in Rome, they had some a tent-making business in Rome. They had a great ministry there in Rome, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were kicked out of Rome through no fault of their own. And they had to now thrive in a new destination. So they went over to Corinth, and there they met the Apostle Paul. And they spent about a year and a half with the Apostle Paul in Corinth, serving together in ministry. But what I love about that, church, is the married couple had to go through great difficulty, but yet still they remained consistent in their married lives together. It's not easy to have your life just turned upside down as a married couple. Sometimes people get married and everything is all great. They've got a nice job and career. They've got kids and a lovely, lovely setup. But just like that, just like Aquila and Priscilla, life can change. And suddenly that married couple is thrown a curveball in life. And they're now having to deal with a transition that they did not even plan for. How many of you married people here have had to face unexpected news, unexpected changes in life? You didn't plan for it. No one told you about it when you were engaged. No one gave you the book to say, look out for this. It was unexpected. But yet still, you were able to come together and say, we are going to get through this together. We are not going to allow the circumstances and the ebbs and flows of life to tear us apart. But whatever comes our way, whatever the challenge may be, we are going to get through this together. That is the union and the strength of a God-given marriage. So Aquila and Priscilla were kicked out of Rome. And there, they had to start a new life in Corinth with Paul, set up their tent-making business there in Corinth. But yet still, they continued to serve Jesus together. They continued to look out for others who needed support and assistance. And they were even happy to come alongside a man by the name of Apollos from Egypt, Alexandria, and to help him to understand the way of Jesus more adequately. I want to close with this. When I was getting married, Anna and I, we picked a song that has really been a blessing to us. And the words, I want to lift some of the words, that this be an encouragement to you. This was our song that we selected for our first dance. And it was put together by a boy band group in 1988. An R&B group by the name of Boys to Men. And they released a song entitled, Can You Stand the Rain? And listen to these words. On a perfect day, I know that I can count on you. In other words, when it's all sunshine and no rain, I know that we can thrive together. But when that's not possible, tell me, can you weather the storm? Because I need somebody who will stand by me. Through the good times and the bad times, they go on to say, she will always, always be right there. And then it goes on to say, sunny days, everybody loves them. But tell me, baby, can you stand the rain? Storms will come. This we know for sure. It's guaranteed. But can you stand the rain? Aquila and Priscilla could stand the rain of persecution together because they recognized that whom God has joined together, no man or woman could separate. It's one thing to love your spouse when all the bills are paid and all the holidays are booked and everyone is in great health. But can we still love when one is facing the loss of a job? Can we still love when one is sick in their body? Can we still love when we don't have steak for lunch but we have spam sandwiches for lunch. Someone said, no, I'm not too sure about the spam sandwiches. Aquila and Priscilla, their testimony is so powerful that although life can change, the relationship and the strength of the relationship does not have to change. Unexpected events can make or break a relationship, but with God at the center of a relationship, He can still keep the two as one flesh. But finally, not only do we see, could they stand the rain together? Yes, they could. They could withstand Roman persecution. They could withstand moving from Rome to Corinth and then Corinth to Ephesus. They could deal with all the transitions. But finally, they could also serve Jesus well together. Aquila and Priscilla were a praying couple. And they were a couple that would serve together in ministry. Paul commends them in Romans chapter 16 and says, I want you to greet them. And also commends them for the work that they both had accomplished in the church of Ephesus. I want to close out with the challenge for all of the married couples here today. That not only has God put us together for companionship, not only has God put us together so that we can keep each other company and that we can make beautiful memories together in life, all of that God wants for us, that's great. But God has also put a man and a woman together so that we can be fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that together we can testify to the world that God is good. That we can testify to the world that if you serve Jesus as a married couple, then it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. What I love about this church is we have some wonderful examples and testimonies of married couples who have been able to withstand the rain and the storms of life together. How many of you here today, I want you to put your hands up if you've been married for over 30 years. Look at God. Look at God. Sorry. 30 years together with the same person. Who could it be but God? That's not based on feeling. That's based on a decision to love. I know there's others who even have been married longer than that. How many have been married 40 years plus? Wow. Look at this. Isn't God good? And if we had time, I'm sure if we could go around the room, these wonderful married couples could share with you, it's not always been easy. Yes, there may have been disagreements. Yes, there may have been differences of opinion. Yes, there may have been some transitions, just like Aquila and Priscilla. Yes, there may have been some unexpected life events that rocked the marriage at times. But we can sit here today and say, thank you, Jesus. We could stand the rain together. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage anyone here today, for those who are planning on getting married, those of you who are praying to get married. We've got some at the front here who are will soon be getting married. Let God, just like Aquila and Priscilla, be at the center of your marriage. Yes, there'll be ups and downs. Yes, there'll be differences of opinion. Yes, at times, like me, we may not always get it right when it comes to some of the domestic duties. But thank God, even at times in a marriage, there can be forgiveness. At times, we don't always get it right. But thank God that there can be that understanding together, that we can work through anything together. Love is not feeling, but love is a sacred decision. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And although I didn't get to go through all that you had put down, but I pray that your people got the message today, that love is not just feelings that are fleeting, but love is consistency. Love is a decision. And love is a reflection of your love for us. Unconditional, patient, kind, forgiving. Lord, we pray for all marriages in our church. We thank you that you have joined wonderful couples together. And just like Aquila and Priscilla, they are serving you. They are pointing people to the way of Jesus Christ. Just like Aquila and Priscilla, so many in this room are commended by the church because of their faithfulness and because of their witness and testimony. And finally, I pray for anyone here this morning, any couple who are preparing for marriage, praying for marriage, I pray, oh God, that we as married people will continue to be a good example, that we may point to a marriage that is fruitful. And we thank you that you have ordained marriage. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are at the center of every marriage, and whom you have put together, let no man or woman separate. So we give you thanks now. May your blessing and may your peace be upon every marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. The worship team are coming back. We're going to close out.
Final hymn really sums it up in the first few words. It says,
is it going to be joined with the prayer meeting?
Yeah, just this one.
Just this one?
Yeah, for the fourth week.
It's the most important love, and you can have that in every relationship. So let's stand and close this out together. David's going to play on the organ for us, so love divine, all loves excelling.
Divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fear. breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find thy promised rest. Take away the love of sinning, offer an omega bee, and no faith has its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy grace receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, service thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Pure and spotless, let us be, let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory. Lost in wonder, love and praise.
It's always a blessing to hear the organ. Amen. Thank you so much, David. Thank you so much for joining us today, especially for those who are visiting with us. If this is your first time, we especially welcome you, and we pray that you have been blessed by the service today. Please do join us for teas and coffees in the lounge. If you don't have to shoot off, we'd love to connect with you and get to know you better. Amen. I also want to say in close, I don't know where my wife is. Where's Anna gone? She's probably out with the baby. I just want to publicly thank her so much as we're talking about marriages today. So much that you don't see behind the scenes that she has to sacrifice in order for me to be able to do this. And I just want to thank God for her. Amen. I know what it's like to... I want to thank God for her. And I know there's men, you know exactly what I'm talking about, the sacrifice that women make. And I'm so grateful. We've got an nearly eight-month-year-old who's teething at the moment and is challenging up through the night. And she sacrificed, let me sleep so that I can be here to be able to preach. So I'm really appreciative for that. Amen. All right, we do have our worship evening tonight. It's tonight, so if you can meet us for worship tonight at 6:30, we would love to see you this evening. Amen. And spouses, I want you to, this week, do something for each other this week. I tried to cook something yesterday, but it went wrong, horribly wrong. I'm so embarrassed. So I'm going to do better this week. I'm going to make sure I get the ratio's right with the ingredients. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for this service today. And we thank you that just like Aquila and Priscilla, that for those of us who are married, that although life can change and there can be ups and downs, we thank you that when you are at the center of every marriage, then we can ride every storm, that we can continue to grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Lord, dismiss us now from this place, but never from your presence. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. For those of you who will be getting baptized next month, please do join me after the service. We're going to have our baptismal class. So in about 20 minutes or so, we'll be back in here for baptism class. God bless you all.